Hey guys, Pastor Tim here, and I want to invite you out to join us for Next Steps. If you've been coming to this church for a while and you've never taken that next step to become a member, or you've been coming and you're not involved on a dream team anywhere, Next Steps is for you. It's where you're going to come and you're going to learn about the heart and vision of this church and how we believe that God has gifted every single one of us with talents to make a difference. You can make a difference in someone else's life. Next Steps is how you're going to find out how to do that as part of this church. Next Steps takes place on the first Saturday of every month from 9 to 11 a.m. and you can sign up at the Welcome Center. We hope to see you there.
Join us for Easter services this year that will begin on Good Friday at 6:30 p.m. with a time of reflection on what the cross means to us. Then on Easter Sunday, we will have our Sunrise Miracle Service with communion at 7 a.m., followed by breakfast from Panera Bread. At 10 a.m., we will have our Easter Celebration Service, including a cantata and an interactive message from Pastor Dosek, focusing on the power of the resurrection. Invite someone to join you in church this Easter.
Well, good evening, family of faith. How is everyone tonight? Woohoo! We are in church. Amen. Best place around right here, church. I want to welcome you all. And if it's your very first time here, there is a guest card in back of your pew that is orange and black and says, "Let's get connected." If you would fill that out for us and drop it right at the Welcome Center when you exit, we would appreciate that. Also, welcome to all who are viewing online. So good to have you guys. Let's welcome them. We are happy to have you here, whether you're viewing on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. It's so good to have you here. Hit that share button so you can share the message with all who you're connected with. I got two things for you tonight. There are cards on your seat, and you guys hear us talk about this all the time because we at Only Believe invite people to church. It's very important to invite people to church. So if you would take that card, it talks all about Good Friday and Easter services, and invite someone to church. Hand it to someone you know. Maybe there's someone you've been waiting to invite for a while. This is a perfect way to just invite them out to church. So I encourage you to use those. Also, tonight is the last night of our small groups in the semester. Who has enjoyed small groups? Man, my small group is just killing it. I'm like, can we do it more? Can we just keep going for a little bit? But tonight is the last night of small groups, so guess what that means? We have another sign up for small groups. So the month of April, there will be no small groups happening on Wednesday nights, but that's when signups will be taking place. You can sign up online at home at onlybelieve.church. All the small groups will be listed there, or you can sign up right at the Welcome Center. There'll be an iPad out there and someone to help you sign up. So we encourage you to sign up for the next semester of small groups. Amen? All right, if you would stand to your feet tonight. We've come to praise Jesus. We've come to lift his name on high. The word says, enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen? Father, tonight, Lord, we devote ourselves to you. We devote ourselves to you fully, God, and say, come inhabit our praises tonight. Holy Spirit, come tonight and rest upon us. Sit upon us tonight. Lord, we've come to magnify you. Our heart's desire is just to worship you in spirit and truth tonight. We give you everything we are, all that we are tonight. We lay down at your feet in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Your word. and I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And you came along and put me back together. And every desire, it's now satisfied. Thank you. Show me what you
praise the Lord. All the time. Boy, I tell you what, when you got a praise and worship team like that, get excited to come into the house of the Lord. Yes, go ahead and give them a hand praise right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I get to talk about offering today. Praise God. I love talk about offering. You know, we've been talking about the blood, and this Sunday we're going to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And you know what? How many people know there's power in the resurrection? I mean, I'm talking about bona fide, Holy Ghost feel, God feel power in the resurrection. So we all are in agreement with that, right? I mean, the power to save, the power to raise the dead, the power to destroy sin's influence over your life. There's no power like that. Well, you know what? I was reading a couple scriptures, and I read Romans 1 and 4. Romans 1 and 4, it says, "And declare to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." Okay, this is Jesus. Then I read John 11, 25, 26, that says, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" So I'm like, okay, man, there's some serious power going on right here. You know, that not even death can stop us. Okay, now I'm going somewhere. So then I happen to see this, Luke 6:38. "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again." So I read that and I said, okay, God, what are you showing me? He said, listen, when I talk about giving and when I talk about the benefits of giving, how you get back, how the increase and the blessing comes, he said, Rick, here's what I want you to know. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead. The same power that breaks the power of sin over your life. The same power that gives you redemption, increase, and breakthrough is the same power that's behind the benefits of giving. Man, that messed me all up. That messed me up. I said, you know what? If I've ever doubted giving, if I ever wondered if there was ever a tough moment when it comes to giving, if God ever tells me to do something and I go, well, I don't know, what I'm going to do is remind myself the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same power connected to the benefits and blessing of my giving. Can we say amen to that? Nobody ever in here should ever question giving again, because it's that power. Whew. I better pray. Let's pray over your giving. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, as people are giving today, as people are stepping out and trusting in you, God, I thank you for the harvest, the benefits, the breakthrough that's going to come from their giving. God, it's infused and empowered by the same power, the same source that rose Jesus from the dead. So, God, I thank you. There's nothing that can stop the benefits and the blessing from their giving. So I just thank you for what's to come for your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, you can bring your tithe and offering up to the Lord. you are dismissed to attend the small groups. Amen.
Well, glory to God. Remember, our church is all about knowing God. We want you to find freedom. We want you to make sure that you discover your purpose. We want to make a difference in the world today. Amen? So we are all about coming to know God. Coming to know God, the difference of knowing God and knowing about Him. Hallelujah. But today we're going to talk about, last week we talked about, when do we give up, when do we quit, when do we surrender, when do we bow a knee to our enemies? And of course the answer to that is never, 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 never. Never. Tonight I want to talk to overwhelmed but not surrendered. The world that we live in can be very overwhelming. We can go to a doctor's appointment and come out with a death sentence, quote unquote, by their standards. We can be overwhelmed by bills, by financial problems, and so forth. I had a friend that had a big construction company, and one day he was building multi-million-dollar houses, and then the next week, his accountant stopped in and said, we're bankrupt. He said, what do you mean we're bankrupt? He said, I just told you, we have no money. And from one point, he had to move into one of the buildings that he had sold somebody in order to rent an apartment from them. And we can be overcome, overwhelmed. The word overwhelmed simply means defeated completely. It means to bury, to fled, to flood, to be overpowered, or to be swamped. Just simply means that it comes in from every direction and it's hard to stop because you don't know where it's coming from. I want to start out tonight reading out of Genesis, the 49th chapter, about one of the sons of Jacob. His name is Gad, and he does later, his siblings, or the ones that are born of his seed, become the supporters of David. And the word Gad is given to Jacob, and Jacob prophesies what is going to happen to Gad. And it says, Gad, a troop shall overcome him. That doesn't sound like good news. But he shall overcome at the last. We can be overcome, but it does not mean that we give up. We can be overwhelmed on all types of fronts, yet we continue to be active in God. Amen? And then one of the first things that we as Christians that get overwhelmed are going to have to do is you're going to have to keep your focus. That word focus simply means to give an attention to verbiage or activity. And it means that you have to incorporate that. And you have to keep incorporating it. And you have to keep your focus on the end, not on the moment. Too many of us lose focus. When we lose focus, what happens? We get confused. You get confused, every evil work is going to happen in your life. You're just going to loose the devil, and he is going to take advantage of everything about you. And that is why many are the afflictions of the righteous. And so, you know, as you hear news of one thing, here comes news of another. You're overwhelmed by one issue you're dealing with, here comes another issue that has to be dealt with. But when all those things happen, we do not surrender. Somebody say, I'm not surrendering. Because just like Gad, even though it looked like he was overcome, but in the end, in other words, he kept going. He didn't stop someplace. He didn't stop and murmur. He didn't stop and look how bad it was. He didn't stop and complain. He didn't stop and take an evaluation of what I'm doing in life. Why isn't it working? He didn't do those things. He stayed the course that God had given him, and his offspring ended up being connected to God's appointed king, King David, and became active in the kingdom of David. Now, the second thing I want you to consider is this. Don't let the overwhelming circumstances, don't let them. This is a choice. This is a choice. Don't let overwhelming circumstances distort your thinking about what God's thinking about you. Let me say that again. Don't let the overwhelming circumstances distort your thinking about what God is thinking about you. Just because things go wrong doesn't mean that God's thoughts have changed. Remember, God knows his purposes and his thoughts concerning you, and the end of all those things are good. And so we want to make sure that we don't start thinking crazy just because things are going crazy. Amen? Let's go to Psalms 22, 1 through 5. Now, this is called the Messianic Psalm. In other words, it really repeats what Jesus encountered when he was going to the cross and when he was on the cross, and where it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring or my crying out? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. And they trusted in thee, and were not confounded. What does David do? David, in this psalm, is speaking as Jesus speaks in John, where he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, many people have preached sermons on why Jesus said that, you know, what was his condition. But what I do know is that in that state, that Jesus had thoughts that were coming against his mind. But Jesus says here that he looks, and in this, he really thinks that God has forsaken him. Now, how could a man that knew God believe that God had forsaken him? Didn't God himself say, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee? I will not be silent, nor will I be idle concerning the things that you are involved in. Yet when things become so overwhelming, our minds get distorted. I've heard people say, well, God put this on me, when it is a total misquote or a misunderstanding of the scriptures. Why would God put something on us that he sent his son to take off of us? I don't understand that. Where does that come from? That comes from a distorted way of thinking. And many times when we don't have the answers, we're overwhelmed with what's going on in life. We don't just purpose to, no matter what's going on, I'm going to make sure I stay the course. And when we don't do that, we think that we have to come up with some type of quote that would justify what people are going through. We don't have to come up with a quote. We really don't have to come up with answers. All we have to do is trust in the Lord. Amen? And it might take a leap of faith for you to do that, but it is going to take you getting hold of a distorted way of thinking. And as soon as you get connected to a distorted way of thinking, the next thing is going to follow is negativity. When negativity comes in, I'll tell you what's going to follow. Depression. When depression comes in, I'll tell you what's following it. Neglect. People that are hopeless and depressed do not invest their time in something that they do not believe that will work. We need to make sure that our thinking is in line with God. Amen? And that we don't get in this place thinking that, God, you have turned your back, your ear deaf to me, that I cannot be heard, though I cry night and day. Well, that was not the truth. God's ears are open unto the righteous, 1 Peter 3:10. And his eyes are up on them. So we know that God never ever lets the prayer of a righteous man go unheard. And we understand that it's mixed with faith and so forth. But really, when a righteous man prays, God hears his prayer. But when our minds get distorted because they're overwhelmed, it's time for us to look at what we're thinking about. And start examining that our faith is still in God. Let's go to Psalms 43, 1 through 5. Remember that even though we are being overwhelmed by enemies, by circumstances, by situations, by even small problems, what we want to do is make sure that we remember the words of God. Though 10,000 fall at one side, that is not going to come nigh you. Now, that's what God said. Now, he's not going to change his thinking just because you and I are in the heat of a battle, just because the water and the waves are swamping our boat. We cannot be overwhelmed. We need to keep our mind fixed on God. And then in Psalms 43, 1 through 5, and it says this, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" Notice David's mindset. It's a mindset that is totally distorted. If you looked at Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So we know that David has this revelation, but in overwhelming circumstances, our thinking can get distorted. Amen? All right, don't shout everything. Hallelujah. Keep a little of it for later. "Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto the God of my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Again, the soul is connected to the intellect, the will, the mind, the thinking process, the reasoning processes of an individual. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Notice that David had to speak to himself. Look, why are you cast down? Why are you overwhelmed? Why are you so distorted about what God thinks about you? I'm going to trust in God. His word is a light and it's truth. I will put my faith in God, and I will not be silent. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Well, I tell you what, a distorted mind never thinks like that. And so when things like that happen, we become unaware of God's unseen activity. You know that a seed is germinating even though it doesn't break the soil yet. You know, eggs are growing into whatever they've been hatched out of, birds or snakes or alligators or whatever, even though we don't see any progression. You know, we could pick up an alligator egg and it would be soft. 3 or 4 days later, you pick it up, it's liable to have a head come out and bite your finger. You have been unaware of the activity of what is taking place in the unknown and the unseen. So don't let your mind get distorted and start thinking wrongly about how God is thinking you about you. Remember, let's stay the course, keep in the word, and all things will end up reverting themselves back to a good outcome on our behalf. Amen? All right. The second thing, let's go to Mark 11, 20 through 26. Never be silent in an overwhelming circumstance. Never be silent. Remember what David said to his soul. I will sing praises unto the Lord God. I will sing praises to the strength of my salvation. So David says that I'm not going to be quiet. You know, if the devil can shut your mouth, he can stop your faith. Amen. He can stop your faith. We do not want to be quiet because remember, the last point we made, you really don't know what's going on in a world that is unseen. The only visible window you have is this right here. And if God said he's doing it, he's doing it. If God said he would do it, he's doing it. If God said that he would see it through, he's seeing it through. God said he'd watch over it, he's watching over it. Amen. So let's not be silent in overwhelming circumstances. Mark the 11th chapter and verse 26. Let me turn my Bible there. I know it's in here. All right. Yeah, there you are. Mark 11, 26. Mark 11, 20, I'm sorry, through 26. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw that the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, we know the story that tells about when Jesus come out. He looked at a fig tree. He went to the fig tree, even though it was not time for its fruit. And Jesus cursed the fig tree. He said, from this day forth, no one will eat of the fruit of you. And Jesus cursed it. Now, it seemed like nothing happened. Remember, we don't want to get our minds distorted and start thinking that God's against us because we never know what's happening behind the scenes. Amen? So Jesus curses this tree. When they come back the next day, lo and behold, even to their amazement, the ones that had seen so many miracles, they look at the fig tree and they say, wow, the fig tree is dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, hey, master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Jesus wasn't interested in expecting the evidence that his words had produced. He knew that something was taking place, so he would not think derogatorily or differently than what God was thinking about him. How did he think? He thought that he was made in the image of God. God was his father, and he would not count himself unequal to live a God-filled life. Philippians, the second chapter. All right. And then it says, and Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. For Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, his mind, and shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he what? Saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, therefore, based on that truth, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive all that ye have ought against any. And your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. We don't want to be silent in the midst of overwhelming circumstances. We can be get a mind that thinks that God's against us and not for us. God's disconnected from our problems. God has become deaf to our cries of faith. But he tells us, don't be silent. You as a believer have a God-given authorized authority. This is God-given. It's not man-made up. This is God-given. And you have that authority and you have power to speak to inanimate objects, objects that have what we would perceive no life in them, but we have the ability, God-given ability, as heirs of God to speak to trees, mountains, and storms and change their life source or the origin that they're gaining life from and replace it with a new place for us to be. Now, we have that right. Yet, as soon as things become overwhelming, we don't talk to the situation. We talk negative to ourselves. Now, when we have authority to speak to trees, to mountains, this is not a figment of our imagination, folks. This is God telling his children, this is what you have. Jesus said, look, you'll not only do to the fig tree what I did, but you will be able to say to a mountain. People say, well, I don't know how could that happen. I don't either. I don't care. I just know that it's true. Now, the mountain certainly is representative of physical things and representative of things that block our way, things that are bigger than we are. The tree is certainly symbolic of things that are deeply rooted in our life, that are drawing our attention away from the course of God, that are not being fruitful in our life. Storms certainly are things that are a symbolism of the struggles that we have, the ups and downs that we have, and the things that the enemy does to divert our attention from reaching the goal that God set for us. Let us go to the other side. But you as a believer and me as a believer, we have the God-given authorized authority to use our words not to curse but to bless and then to change the things that are deceiving us under the earth and that are hindering us above the earth and the things that are being conjured up from us by the resources of the earth. Now, we have that authority. But Christians seem to get silent when they get overwhelmed with problems. They think God's not doing anything. Well, I'm here to tell you, God is doing everything that your faith will allow him to do. God is not failing us. Your faith is not failing you. You might be failing your faith by being silent, but it is not because God wants you silent. It's because of the overwhelming problems that seem to attack your mind. And so we have to put a stop to that. Could I get an amen? The third thing you don't want to do is never stop activity that you have started by faith before overwhelming circumstances. Because your faith activity is a breeding ground for overwhelming, oppressive circumstances. Did you hear what I said? When you start faith, you activate a demonic response from your adversary. It demands that he does something, or he acknowledges that you can do anything. And he's not going to do that. So sometimes people, as they start doing something, real perfect simple example is somebody starts deciding, and I hope all of us have decided, that we're not going to be poverty, and we're not going to live in debt, and we're not going to be bound by financial limitation. Now, I hope that everybody is striving for that. But some people are not. They've just adapted that, hey, praise God, we make the payments and glory to God. Well, I'm all for that. But there is something that is higher than that. And that is that you can live the abundant life. And you and I can be debt free. You might say, well, I'm already in debt. Well, now you have a goal to work your way out of it by faith and not by your own human skill and energy. You do not have enough time to live in this world debt-free. It takes an intervention of God to release and to reverse poverty in a person's life. Now, when we get active in that, we start sowing seeds. We say, hey, look, you know what? I'm going to get out of debt. And we start sowing seeds. You know, the first couple of weeks, it's great. Hallelujah. We're all blessed. But about that time, the devil shows up. Because you've been messing his kingdom up. And so what he does is he starts overwhelming you. Your tire goes flat. Your kids go crazy. Your wife starts losing her hair. You know, her fake eyebrows won't work anymore. Whatever it might be, your shoes don't fit anymore. Your kids have went crazy. They just grew 6 inches from the time you put them in bed last night to the time you got them up in the morning. And everything is overwhelming. Honey, we need shoes. Honey, we need track shoes. Honey, we need tennis shoes. Honey, we need tires for the car. Honey, the carburetor's messing up. Honey, we're behind on that bill. Did you get that out? And it just gets overwhelming. But some point in time, you decide, I'm not going to live under this overwhelming pressure to be conquered by death. I'm not going to do it. Not that you don't have debt, but you start giving your way out of it. See, the whole purpose, the whole design of sowing and reaping is to get more to you than what you disperse. You have seed to sow, and God multiplies that which is sowing. Now then, when it starts coming in, you got to be diligent. Don't eat at Red Lobster every Sunday just because you're getting an extra $50 Pentecostal handshake. Don't do it. Put it towards your debt. Now, what happens is we start getting overwhelmed. Now, the first thing that Christians do when they start getting overwhelmed, they just stop everything. But you know, Philippians 1:6 says, God is faithful. That is, he began a good work in you, he will complete it. So when these things happen, when these overwhelming things come in our life, we stop our activity. Well, you know, I've got so much going on, I just had to quit the nursery. Now, I wouldn't say this to your face, chicken. And you know I'm kidding. But what I want you to realize is you have just been separated from God's call on your life. Oh, well, I don't know if I'm called. Well, if you're in there and you made it more than 30 days without going crazy, you're called. Hello? Now, people get in ministry, outreaches, and so forth. The first thing that they're going to do is penalize God and abort their walk of purpose for the Lord. They just stop. Well, certainly your activity did bring attention from the devil, but if you didn't know that he was going to show up, then you missed one of the classes that was presented to you. Look, the devil is going to come, and he's not coming with a balloon for a birthday, but he's coming with vengeance so that your faith can be put out and everybody else that has been sparked by it will be put out also. And so as soon as people start giving and these overwhelming things come, the first thing they do is disengage faith. Even though they know that it's true. If you sow a seed, it will come back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, men and women will give into your bosom. And if God gave you seed and you know that the seed is the word of God, the seed is a dream, the seed is money, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:10, and the whole process of giving, given it shall be given, the whole process is a process that creates increase in your life. Amen. How many visitors from the Lutheran Church of God here tonight? Raise your hand. No. Listen, what we do is we stop giving. Don't stop giving. Because the same fire that has come from the devil to destroy you is the same fire, if you will stay faithful, that will bring you through to a place that God will use you in a tempered way. So you don't want to stop anything. Intensify it. Here's what Phyllis says. She would never say this in front of a crowd, but I really don't care. When you put pressure on the devil and he starts showing up, pop him like a pimple. In other words, no matter how much it hurts, you put the pressure back. That's the only way to get rid of a pimple. And all right, Jesus said these words. Whenever you put your hand to a plow, don't look any other way. Don't take them off. Because if you do, it's not that you're not, Jesus doesn't mean you're not fit for the kingdom. What he means is you're not fit for the benefits of the kingdom because a laborer is worthy of his hire. You stop working, the kingdom will stop working for you. All right. Another thing, and then we'll close up with these last two. James 4, 6, and 7 says, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil. Does anybody know what resist means? It means respond to the pressure given. When pressure comes from the enemy, we are to submit to God. Now, what does that mean? Don't stop doing what brought the pressure. Keep yourself submitted to God. And as you do, you will put pressure back on the devil. And the pressure you put on him is far greater than he's putting on you. And the Bible says, as you humble yourself, God gives more grace to you. So in other words, when you are resisting that pressure to quit, to cave in, God will strengthen you with spiritual strength and fortitude to overcome. Amen. And then the last one we're going to wrap up with this is this. Hold fast your confession of faith. Overwhelming circumstances have a way of bringing out the negative of people's life. They see everything negative, they feel everything negative, and they talk everything negative. You know, they talk like, as David talked, you know, God, where are you? Have you forsaken me? Well, no, David, I haven't forsaken you. I'm right here. But you haven't been hearing me. Oh, I've been hearing you. Yeah, but you haven't been responding to me. Oh, I've been responding to you. But God, I don't see. Well, there's lots of things going on you don't see, David. But when Jesus was delivered up, and if you don't think that Jesus was overwhelmed by the accusations of everybody that was within the outer courts of Herod's council, you're wrong. He was under scrutiny. He was facing prophetic fulfillment. I'm going to be beaten. My beard is going to be plucked out that I'll have no recognition as looking like a man. I will bear the burdens of others. I will bear their sickness and their disease. It will be presumed that I am by the onlookers forsaken of God. I cannot do this on my own, but it's not my will, God. It's your will. And during this overwhelming rejection and hatred of an innocent man that simply went about doing good and proclaiming God's will, Jesus held fast a good confession. Pilate says, don't you know that I can take your life? Jesus says, confession was, you couldn't do anything except my Father had already ordained you do it. Now, I'm sure that Jesus was understanding, I'm about to die. I'm sure he understood all of the prophetic fulfillments of Isaiah 54 and 53. I know that he understood it. He had to have strength. He was in such turmoil and anxiety and passion about what he was doing that he prayed and sweated drops of blood. Now, I don't know the medical purpose of that, and really not interested. But what I do know is that Jesus was facing overwhelming situations, and he held fast his confession of faith. We, in Hebrews 3:1, are to hold fast our confession of faith, our profession. The word profession means confession of our faith, because we have a high priest, somebody that's already been there and already done that. Somebody that has suffered and been tempted just like you and I have, and now he is above that, and he has been raised to heaven, and he is presenting our cases on our behalf to God the Father. Hold fast your confession of faith. If you break it down, you will disconnect yourself from Jesus' priestly activity. I'm glad that Jesus is on my side. He's a high priest that can be touched with my infirmities. He understands being overwhelmed. But he also understands doing what God asked you to do. Thinking the way God thinks about you. Amen? Not being silent. Not quitting what he started. He resisted the adversary. He held fast a good confession. So let's not surrender to overwhelming circumstances. You know, I was thinking today, how long does it take for a miracle to happen? That way? No. That's how long it takes to manifest. It may take a year to get it done, but it manifests that fast. So you never know when you are on the brink of a miracle. How long does it take for a baby to be born? Isn't that true? Oh, there it is. Hurry, hurry. It's always like it's a surprise to everybody around the table. I think, what are you here for? Keep your eyes because the baby's about to come. Well, they're standing there talking, looking at stuff, and pretty soon, whoo! It happens just like that. No, it took 9 months of things working and happening in an unseen world, but it manifests just like that. You never know when your miracle's going to come. I am persuaded that most people have missed their miracles by a half a step. You never know the next word. You never know the next handshake. You never know the next encounter. You never know the next corner. You never know. So let's make sure that we don't get overwhelmed. They might come with onslaughts. Your adversaries might be more than you can number. But remember, 1,000 can fall, 10,000 can fall, but it won't come nigh you. Just stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God forever. You know, Phyllis and I, a couple weeks ago, we were sitting in the house, and I told Phyllis, I said, you know, I'm just not comfortable on this couch. She said, you know what? I'm not either. It just doesn't feel like home since we bought it. I said, I know it. Call somebody and see if they want to buy it. So she made a couple phone calls. Sure enough, next 2 or 3 days, somebody showed up and gave us the money. So we had to haul our old furniture up out of the basement and put it in the living room, and that's fine. They told us we'd get it at football season. So Phyllis said, well, we have to wait clear till the fall to get our furniture. I said, who told you that? She said, well, that guy at the furniture store. I said, they don't know anything. I just said, do they know Jesus? She said, no. I said, well, we're going to pray. And I want to tell you something. At the end of 2 months, our furniture is going to be right here in this living room, and we're going to be setting our dead little selves right on it. She said, you think that, you know, but they said, I said, I don't care about COVID. I don't care about layoffs. I don't care about unions. I don't care about nothing. God is big enough to make somebody make a mistake and get my furniture done because it needs to be done. The second thing, she said, well, they just, 2 days later, they called her. She bought some, you can't let Phyllis go anyplace, Nikki. She does just what Nikki's doing. And she bought a new bedroom suit. I said, we don't need a new bedroom suit. We got our eyes closed when we're in the old one. Ain't nobody cares what it looks like. Well, she bought one. She said, they'll tell me it's going to be here in 6 months. I said, I don't believe that. Well, they called her two days after we had this discussion, and they said, hey, your bedroom suit just come in. She said, really? They said, yeah, when can you pick it up? She said, Thursday. So we called Randy and said, hey, Randy, can you pick up our bedroom suit? Yeah. So Randy said, I thought they said much. She said, I know it. But, you know, something happened, and God just blessed us. I'm looking for my living room suit to be here in about the end of May. So what is that? That's a month, about the middle of May, so that I can lay on it and just relax and in the air conditioner and let Phyllis go out and weed and things like that. But, you know, let's use God and get him involved in everyday life. Everyday life. Everyday life. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we may be overwhelmed like Gad, but God, in the end, we shall overcome. We will not reverse, we will not withdraw, will not fall short, and will not become idle, and will not stop doing what we are involved in right now. Now, God, we thank you for your provision. Your faithfulness, God, is a wonder to us all. And God, we thank you for all that you are doing for us and what you have done for us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And tonight we have something special for you. I would like to tell you there's a tub of watermelons out there, but there's not. There's a tub of water out there, and the young lady gave her life to Christ here at church, but she wants her small group family to be there when she gets baptized. So they brought in a watering trough, and they're going to baptize her out there in the foyer. So we encourage you to watch. Okay? God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning.